Good morning, peacemakers. It's your girl, Dawn Stone, also known as the Conflict Chick. I am here for season 6, episode 7, talking to you about the things that so easily beset us in conflict. I am going to take you on a journey. So for the next 10 weeks, we will deeply dive into 10 different reasons why conflict shows up as something negative, something unnecessary, something that causes a great deal of strife. But we will deconstruct and debunk every myth that deals with these 10 topics. And today, I just want to give you an overview of what those topics are about and why it's important for us to understand that conflict is neutral. It's neither positive or negative. It is only positive or negative based on your response to that particular stimuli. So I love giving the example about deadlines. I'm a person who is very task-oriented, have been my entire life. My mother will tell you, I was driven from the womb. So not sure what that whole thing is about, but I guess I can figure some things out. But for those of us who enjoy deadlines, that type of conflict is positive for us. So when I'm given a deadline, I'm like, oh yes, I got something to strive for. But for other people, it becomes something that tolls and brings them anxiety and things of that nature. So this is the reason why it's important for me to reach 1 million people. And then those 1 million tell at least 10 other people so we can permeate the world with the truth when it comes to conflict resolution. Conflict is not the problem. Oftentimes, our biases, our beliefs, our values, and our limited thinking is the reason for negative conflict. If you look at anything in the headlines in your province, your country, your city, your state, you can often find something that has been given a negative connotation, which leads you to think that conflict is a bad thing. But I'm here to tell you, we are going to walk through this together. I will give you anecdotal data, narratives through storytelling, real life stories, as well as the evidence from the researchers who have been doing this for way longer than we've been on this planet, telling you the benefit of having a conflict resolution tool or strategy to deploy in your life personally and professionally. So let's get to it. Let me go over today the top 10 things we will talk about over the next 10 weeks. So we will begin with navigating cultural differences. You know, leaders have opportunities, and this could be leadership inside families, inside organizations, inside clubs and associations, inside countries. Depending on how you define your particular ecosystem, navigating these opportunities become mainstream. So when we talk about navigating cultural differences, we're talking about cultural backgrounds, culture norms, communication styles, and misunderstandings when it comes to conflict. I had a lesson that was taught. I did a speaking engagement to about 65 diverse leaders in Nashville, Tennessee last Monday, and one of the participants in the audience said, "Hey, Conflict Chick, I want to know why it's so hard for people to be asked questions." She says, I tend to ask questions and people either get upset, they gaslight, they shut me down. Why is that?" We're going to dig right into it because questions is one of the most important tools in conflict resolution. It's the only way we can find answers. So we can isolate the root cause from the people and from the people's values and their thoughts and their limited beliefs. So when you think about cultural differences, think about how different we are, even in this global space of podcasts. People think, view, review, and perceive things totally differently. even inside the same cities, states, families, countries, and cultures. So we're going to talk about how to make that an inclusive space. The second week, once we get the end of March, we're going to do gender dynamics and leadership and just look at the underrepresentation of women globally in leadership. In some industries, we're still at single-digit numbers, and it's like, why? Women have been here since the beginning of time. In fact, that's how we were able to reproduce. Okay, so we're going to talk about gender biases in the workplace and in other settings and how we can really, really, truly create intentional spaces for women to thrive and to also close that wage gap. That's going to be a whole nother week. The third week, first week of April, we'll talk about work-life balance for working parents. So these are working parents of all types. Working parents from single, divorced, widowed, second generation raising their grandkids, married, you name it. We're going to look at the work-life balance and what I like to call harmony of working parents and how organizations play a part in making that whole dance possible and reducing conflict and stress. Later on in April, we will talk about the resistance to DEI initiatives. I spoke a little bit about it in episode six. But we're going to really talk about why there is such a resistance. And you know what's funny? The resistance that we are seeing, especially in the United States, is all aligned around the rhetoric we see on television and the polarization of politics. So we have actually had a very small group of people who have decided that this is the one thing they're going to make a part of the platform to either uplift or dismantle. And with that comes a lot of stress and anxiety around what to do, who to believe. If I align with this, am I going to lose my job? So it's created this whole fear factor. So when we talk about the resistance of DEI, we're going to get into the fear factor. That's going to be a yummy week. Then in week five, we will talk about interpersonal conflicts and communication breakdowns because miscues is a real cue. All right. Miscues are often. Miscommunication comes about with personality differences, different styles. And we also will talk about the impact of the pandemic on our communication and our breakdowns with communication. We will look at multiple settings like classrooms, corporations, in your own family. Sometimes you can be in the same house with people and still have difficulty communicating. So we're going to break down that. Then in week six, we're going to talk about adapting to rapid changes. We have this thing called connectivity and connectedness. And I'm going to dig into why that is such a different space and help you understand why we must adapt to rapid changes, but not lose our human connection. That's the connectedness versus connectivity. Connectivity is I've got the technology that allows me to communicate with you. So I'm going to send you a text message and break up with you. I'm going to send you an email and leave my job. I'm going to send you an instant message and let you know that I really don't like you anymore and I think we should break up. It's that type of adaptation to technology that has also paralyzed us from a conflict resolution standpoint because that one-way communication is very, very disruptive. And so we're going to dig in that week and really talk about ways to bring the connectedness and the human factor back into our communication. Then week seven, here we go. Mental health and emotional well-being. It is important. I talk about this in every single conflict resolution class, every keynote, every coaching session, every team building session. If we do not understand that mental health and emotional well-being is a necessary thing, it is paramount. We've literally got 4 to 5 generations that are now working or about to work. And with that being said, understanding the nuances of each generation and then throw in culture and identities,
We have a melting pot of conflict ready to happen. So we're going to break that down in week 7 and really have you understand how you can be emotionally and mentally equipped to deal with conflict and also create spaces so other people will feel open. In week 8, we're going to talk about generational differences in the workplace. So I'm going to take that week 7 and then amp it up and really deal with our boomers and Gen Xers and the veterans and the millennials and the Gen Zs. And then this alpha generation that's coming through, and just really talk about how and why conflict exists in those spaces. And how it's going to be necessary for us to be really transparent and to be fluid in our communication and our allowances. Because what was old and new in 86 is different from 1946, which is different from 2021. And will be different in 2026. So we're going to talk about that and understanding that collaboration is vital. So in week 9, we're going to talk about how to effectively handle feedback and criticism. Think about how many times you have had a bad review and how that has changed your level of productivity in the company. It's made you go and apply for more jobs that you know you don't even want. It's made you more anxious or more angry, more withdrawn, more depressed. We're going to talk about handling feedback and criticism. So it's going to be the receiving and the giving. Very important dynamic. Because being able to create a culture where constructive feedback is the norm, it's going to be highly valued at work and at play. And then week 10, as we hit the month of May, it's going to be about ethical dilemmas and integrity challenges. Let me ask you a question. Did you realize that over 60% of people have admitted that they lied on their resume about a job or a characteristic that they have or skill that they have? Now, let's fast forward. What does that look like in a workplace for an employee who thinks they are getting a well-rounded employee instead of a well-written resume? Oh my goodness, that is going to be key. And we're going to talk in week 10 about how we can create cultures, even as educators, even as family members, even as employees, mentors, friends, cousins, to really address that ethical behavior. And sometimes we reward that bad behavior. So then we'll look at the construct of class and race in week 10 as well. So I'm really excited about being able to bring real conflict resolution scenarios and opportunities to the space, because it's something that only 35% of organizations address. And then in places that I've been, and most of my clients come from the human resources space, only 45% of them say that their organization even has some work or some lesson or some policy around conflict resolution. So I'm excited. I want you to like, subscribe, follow, and share this, because I know if it's not you, someone in your network has a conflict resolution opportunity. Someone in your family is seeking conflict resolution or peace as we speak. Someone in your extended network can benefit from this information. So please stick with us. Come and share. Let me know on my socials how you feel. My handles are @theconflictchick. I can be reached via email, phone, text @theconflictchick on all social media handles, and also at www.theconflictchick.com. I have enjoyed talking to you today. Thank you for stepping in. Season 6, Episode 7 with The Conflict Chick. I want to leave you with these small words. Don't forget to be good to yourself first and then good to others. You can create beautiful spaces for yourself and those you care about. Have an amazing day. Bye-bye.